It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host this morning. Miss Monica's over there running the iPad. And our special guest today, Ernie Aragon.
Close enough.
Argon.
Aragon. Yeah.
I'll get it right.
Argon's the gas. Just remember that. Some and people say I'm full of it, so, you know.
A lot of hot air.
Yeah.
Aragon. Okay. I might get it right one of these days.
That's fine.
But anyway. Okay.
Just don't call me late for dinner. That's all I ask.
Well, I'm with you on that. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, and about halfway through the program, we will stop and we will pray for your needs or praise with you. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. Well, we've had a lot of changes recently, and I'm having a hard time getting them in my brain,
yeah.
Ernie.
I understand.
There's also another line that you can send your praise or your prayer request to, and it's 580-485-0837. Our Facebook sponsor today is Joshua's Crossing Ministry. And we appreciate them so much for allowing us to meet here day in and day out. Continue to keep blessing your prayers as he is working through the loss of Donna. They are located at 321 North Main in Elk City. And at some point in time, they will get back to doing some counseling, I'm sure. I think maybe I've covered most everything except, oh, we record in two parts. And we put it over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com, when the program's over. So you can go there if you have someone that doesn't do Facebook. You can send them there, have them go to the rockchristianmusic.com, click on the Hour of Power, and then go to the day that they missed, and you'll be able to hear that message. Now I think I've covered everything, Ernie. Aragon.
Got all the main bases covered there.
Would you pray to start us out?
Yes, dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for bringing us all together. Once again, just this radio ministry that you brought to me, Father, through my sister Monica and Miss Eva for allowing me to do it, Lord. I just want to pray for the individuals that are out there that are going to be listening, tuning in, even those that will tune in later on the day or later in the week or later in the month or just happen to stumble across it, Father. We just want to keep them in our prayers, Father, just receiving whatever word you want to bring to them at a time and a place that you need to have them have it, Father. And we just want to bring blessings upon everyone and just love. I feel this overwhelming power of just love today with the message I'm going to share over everyone, Father. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, aren't you glad we don't have to have some stiff-necked way to pray to God?
Yes, I love it.
Yeah, we can just talk to him just like you and I were talking a while ago when I'm stumbling through the stuff I'm supposed to be saying. So.
Yes, totally like it. All right, so today's message is fully surrender. And this kind of came to me in abouts with people and friends that I've known that are walking in the Lord or don't really know the Lord very well. And there's the aspect of fully surrendering. There's a misunderstanding of what that means. And so I went and I kind of found some scriptures. I didn't kind of find out. I got some scriptures, and the Lord's helped me direct me specifically to certain scriptures to help individuals utilize these scriptures as a means of understanding what surrender means. So to start it out with, I want to get this one there for everybody, and this is Matthew 16:24-25, and I'm going to read it in two versions. The first one's going to be, I believe I got it in the NIV version, so I'll go ahead and read that. So it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And so that's kind of a hard one to read into, because the way Jesus sometimes says stuff, it doesn't come across nicely. And some people that don't understand what Jesus is truly meaning kind of take offense to that. It's like, well, I got to lose my life. What do you mean I got to lose my life? You know? It's not that you have to lose your physical life. What he's talking about is that there's a life of the world, and then there's a life of living. I call it the kingdom life, living in the kingdom. There are two different worlds that you would be living in. And what he's talking about is he's asking us to deny the sinful ways of our lives, things that actually keep us fully away from Christ and his kingdom. And so what I wrote here in my book here, it says, it's a life of self-denial and sacrifice, not living our lives for self, but letting Jesus live through us. For your steady attachment to Christ and his love, I'm sorry, my writing's kind of messed up here. He shall have ample amounts. My writing, I'm so bad. This one that I'm telling you, I woke up this morning, and this is the one that the Lord downloaded on me, and I didn't have a place to write it, so I wrote it sideways on my book. So that's why I'm having a hard time. He shall have amply made up to him in the eternal life. I hope you got that. So that was Matthew 16, 24, 25. That's what he's kind of describing in that area there. So it's a matter of us letting go of the things of the world that hold us down, and taking up the cross with Christ. You know, we're actually turning our lives into disciples, is the best way to describe it, of Christ. And as we're following and moving forward with Christ, all these things that we hold on to the world slowly, if you're doing it right, they will either slowly come off of you, or they will come off of you through time. It's just how it works with you and the Lord. And then the second verse I want to go with that before I jump into everything is Galatians. I was going to go on this one and read it to you in the Message version of it. And this one kind of simplifies what it's saying. It says, then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intended to come with anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me. And I'll show you how self-help is no help. I'll show you how self-help is no help. And all self-sacrifice is the way. My way. To finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal it is to get everything you want, but lose yourself. What could you ever trade your soul for? So that's just a simple version of what we're trying to understand here. And then the second verse I wanted to go to on this was Galatians 2:20. See, you guys are looking. I am using my YouVersion Bible app, and I got all kinds of different translations on it. And I'll be using a few different ones on this one, but this one we're going to go to the Passion Translation. What did you do to me? Oh, come on, Passion. Boom. There we go. So this is Galatians 2:20, and it says, my old identity has been crucified with the Messiah and no longer lives, for the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of God, by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me. And dispensed his life into me. So that's that, that right there, that verse right there should signify everything when you surrender yourself to the Lord or to Jesus, however you want to bring it. They're all one and the same. And so taking that, and this is where we're going to start jumping into to fully surrender. And what we're going to learn here is the definition, and I even got a Greek definition and what they mean for you. So surrendering to God is showing complete faith in him and believe in his promises. Just like a child, we can walk in freedom from worries. We can simply must choose to trust God for everything. If we can trust God for our salvation through Jesus Christ, we can trust him for our daily needs and desires. And we're going to go to Matthew 18:3-4. And this is just to confirm all this through the word. We got Matthew. I always get Matthew lost. And it says here, and this is in the Passion Translation, learn this well, unless you dramatically change your way of thinking or becoming teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm, with a wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in. Whoever continually humbles himself to become like this gentle child is the greatest one in heaven's kingdom realm. And so the definition, before I step into that, it, surrender. Surrender, I don't know if any of you have ever had to deal with police officers or getting arrested or anything like that. But if you have, you understand that when you have someone of authority that is telling you, like especially if you got pulled over and he's asking you to put your hands up, you don't sit there and dilly-dally around. You put your hands on the steering wheel. You do what he is commanding you to do to every step to bring you out for him to come and put handcuffs on you. If I'm just using this hypothetically. If any of you have ever had this happen before, I'm sorry. I've had it happen to me once. But I'm using this as an example to understand what surrender means, because that's what you are doing. You're surrendering your rights at that moment under the authority that this officer has by man's law to bring you into captivity. Now, this can go a bunch of different ways. You could surrender to, you know, as you're surrendering to this police officer, you're doing exactly what he's asking to do. And there, and believe me, the real funny side of, not funny, but it's kind of a sad side of it is when you don't surrender. And if you ever seen any of them cop shows and you see those guys, you know, they get pulled over, all of a sudden they hit the gas on the pedal and they start taking off. Well, they're not surrendering. They're running. They're running from the authority that is there trying to help them. And all they're doing is making their situation worse, because if you're watching them, they're running red lights, almost running over people, crashing cars, you know, all these horrific things. That's where the enemy wants you to go. He wants you to end up crashed and dead, preferably, but at least at the minimum being crashed and brought into captivity with so many chains of burden that you've brought on yourself. You know, that was his goal and intent. But a reasonable person will stop, do as the officer says, get out and follow his commands. And so in the same sense, what I'm trying to get to is that surrendering to the Lord is in that same understanding. That means you got to let go of yourself. That means you got to let go of who you are to him and let him take over. And so the definition is to yield something to the possession or power of another. Deliver up positions of one demand or under duress. And the verb of that is to give oneself as into power of authority, submit or yield. And the Greek word, and I hope I'm saying this right, because the Greeks have a weird way of saying things. It's paradidiami. Paradidiami. And so if you want to know how it's spelled, it's paradidomi. And if I'm saying it wrong, I'm sorry.
Spell that again.
It is paradidomi. And it looks to me like periodotomy, how they would say it, periodotomy, and which means yield up, transmit, or entrust. So there we go. We have the definition of what surrender is in both. I used the Webster dictionary to get that definition of surrender, and then I used the Greek dictionary to give it to you in the Greek of where that word is coming from, surrender. And so, what to surrender? What do we surrender? And I was thinking about that. I was like, wow, what do we surrender? Well, if you really stop and think about it, everything. You surrender everything of who you are and what you are to God. And there's another way of saying it. And these are called, I'm going to give you five. There's probably a lot more that could be out there, but I think these are the ones that are going to hit you in a way that will give you an idea of where we're coming from. But these are the five areas that I think a lot of people have a misconception on and not a full understanding of what it means to surrender these areas. So there's five of them I got, and I call them the five let goes. And so you're letting go of everything. And these five ones are called control, worry, money, relationship, and your future. It is literally raising up your arms. Excuse me. It is literally raising your arms up. We're telling God we can't do it anymore, and he has to take over. When we get out of the way, we give God room to wield his mighty arms in our lives. When our hands are weak and tired to hold the plow, his hands and strength and power to keep, his hands are strong and powerful to keep you going. And then we're going to go to Psalms 89:13, and we're going to go to the NIV. Right, 89, yeah. Breathtaking and awesome is the power. Am I reading the right NIV? I'm sorry. See, I'm still learning these translations. Come on, get there. 13, we got 13. You jumped too far. So it says, this is the NIV. Your arm is endowed with power, and your hand is strong, your right hand exalted. So that's telling you that God has the power and authority to take over your issues, your problems, or what you got going on. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows the direction that he needs to get you to get yourself out of these pitfalls that you keep walking into. And then the Passion Translation on that, that's where I should have just left it at. It says, what are you doing to me? It says, breathtaking and awesome is the power. Astounding and unbelievable is your might and strength when it goes on display. So that's just a nice, pretty way of saying what we just learned there. So we'll go from there. We're going to jump right into Romans 8:28. This one's a good verse, and we're going to do it both in the NIV and Passion. Some of you might know these, some of you may not. I'm not a very good verse remember. I remember the verse and what the gist of it is. I just don't know all the words like that. And I know that's going to take some time, because there are people that I know that they know this stuff inside and out, but they've been doing it for a while, so it's just so embedded inside of them. So 8:28 in the NIV. I don't know why my phone keeps jumping to that. So it says, as we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That is the NIV. The Passion. It says, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives, for we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. And so that brings us right into our first one about control. We were brought into a world where we were taught that we had to make our own way, that we had to put our hands to the plow and plow that field in our lives, which there's much truth to that. That's an absolute truth of starting at that starting point. But when we surrender to the Lord and we give him control of over our lives, our whole entire lives, he's already got a game plan set up for you. In our lives before we've come to the Lord, where we were like a pinball in a pinball machine. We were just bouncing from one place to the other on our own, you know, hit of the flippers and doing it our way, to where God has already had a plan set up for us since we were born. It's the thing that happens is we get ourselves in our way because we were brought into a sinful world, and the first thing that we start doing is sinning because that's what everyone else is doing. So you want to fit into the crowd, that's what you got to do. So control is where we have a problem, especially as you get older and start developing your life. It's harder to let go of certain things and certain ways that you become, learn, or taught yourself are just part of who you are. And so it said, what I wrote down here is, it is the hardest to give up because without it, we feel vulnerable. Don't worry. God's always in control. You just need to recognize his authority, get out of the driver's seat, and let him drive Miss Daisy. Mm-hmm. Know he is the creator of all. So you can trust in him in everything. It will be scary at first, but the passenger seat is so much more comfortable to be in. So that's, and I'm using that analogy of driving Miss Daisy is because if you've seen the movie, you know, the driver was a guy taking her everywhere she wanted to go. Wherever she wanted to go, that's what was going to happen. Because as we're sitting in the passenger seat, God is directing and pointing us to where he wants us to go. So the difference in the movie is that she's directing him, but I'm just using it as an example of saying that God's in the driver's seat. He has the will, just like the song says, and we're just the passenger along the way. And it's hard for people because a lot of people want to jump in and be the driver of a car, you know, and or a vehicle or whatever. And when they do, they are in control in that moment. But that means everything that happens down that road, good, bad, or indifferent, you're the one that's calling the shots. So I'd rather have somebody in that seat that is a professional that knows and understands how that road is going to change and turn and bring me into the right place and get me away from every hazard that's coming my way. So we got to let go of control of our lives and every aspect and everything that we got going on. Now we're going to go to, Philippians 4:6. And I think I just left it in the Passion. It says, don't be pulled in different directions or worry about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God will overflow gratitude. Requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. And this is about worry. Man, we can worry from one end about to the other about this. I've seen so many people's lives destroyed about worrying about something that they can't control. And all honestly, there are times and situations that they're worrying about things that just there's just no way that they can fix it or make it right. See, this is where God comes along, because you take that worry and you put it upon him, and then your space is cleared to delve into him and worship him and love him. And when you're doing that, he's on the side taking care of whatever is going on and what's happening. So this is what I wrote. Does it add a single day to your life, worrying? Did you get a new day because you worry today? Are you getting a new day because you worry today? It oppresses us. It affects our minds, our hearts, and our bodies. Man, worry could make a person sicker than a dog, It could destroy parts of our bodies. You can get an ulcer from worrying. It's such a, to me, the best way I could describe worry, worry is a demon. And he is there to do all these things to you. So if you put in your mind that worry is a demon trying to affect you, I think it'll make it easier for you to understand what you're worrying about. Now, that given, there are things to be concerned about. I ain't saying not just to let everything go. But when you bring all the concern and worry to God, he's going to level it all out. He's going to make you maintain an even strain over the whole situation because he's got you covered. He's going to hold your hand as you move forward and move to whatever it is that you're going on. It could be any circumstances that you're going through right now that you're worried about. Is it family, friends, finance, whatever it is that's happening, he's got you covered. As long as you are surrendering, and that's the key again, surrendering to his will. I said, surrender it to God, and your life will float in his favor. So I liked how that was stated. I saw this somewhere, so I picked that up, and it said, float. What is floating? That means just you're like a cloud. You know, cloud has no worry. It's just out there just doing its thing as a cloud. That's what God wants you to do, and he's going to bring you into his favor when you start utilizing him for those issues that you're having. So now we're going to go to Hebrews 13:5. And it says here, don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have. For you always have God's presence. For hasn't he promised you, I will never leave you alone. And never I will, I will never leave you alone. Never. And I will not lose my grip on your life. And this is about money. How many of us out there are worried about money? Paycheck to paycheck. Paying the bills. I mean, that's a monthly thing that we are going through and having, and we can't get away from it. Money makes the world move. Having a job is what pays our bills. And when we get to a point where we're just, that's all it seems to be that we're doing is we're just, oh man, I'm just always paying, but I don't got enough for this, I ain't got enough for that. Well, you got to understand, when you don't have the Lord in your life, and you've not surrendered your finances to him, there is a entity or a being that is called the devourer. And any amount of money you can make, though, doesn't matter how much money you got, you always feel like you're broke. Well, the devourer comes along, and he finds ways to siphon that money out of your hands. And one of the biggest things I learned just being back in church or going to church was the greatest teaching that I've got about the enemy is trying to make me screw up here. Tithing. I am so glad I got a spiritual father that has taught me so much about what tithing truly means. And it doesn't mean always about your money. There's other things you could be tithing in also, but the tithing part is actually a good starting point for you to start understanding what your finances are. Because if you start understanding where your finances are coming, yes, you got a job, you're making money, but where did you get that job? How did you get that job? Well, the Lord got you there. He got you directed into it. He knows what you need to have. He knows that this job is actually going to be able to provide for you and your family. So all he's asking on a tithe is a 10% of what you make. However you wanted to decide, figure if it's, you know, gross or anything like that, that's just between you and the Lord. But that's a starting point for you to understand where he's going to start working on your finances. Because he's going to show you, when you start faithfully doing this, I'll just say that every Sunday, you're faithfully doing this every Sunday, you're going to start seeing things happen in your life. Because what you just did is the best example I could use is God's hands were tied when you weren't tithing. He can't help you with that job. He can't help you with those bills. He can't help you to have extra money in your pocket for this, that, or whatever. He can't do that. But when you start slowly tithing, or I won't even say slowly, you just need a tithe. And when you start doing that, he starts seeing that your faithfulness to him and to the house of God, that this is what you're doing. you're going to start seeing an increase. Is it going to be financially? It can be. Can it be an increase in maybe a promotion in your job? Can it be an increase of, a friend of mine he had an extra car and he just gave it to me. You don't know where God's going to point that increase on you. It's not so much that we need to, it gets to a point where it's not so much anymore where you start thinking of, oh, what's God going to give me if I give the 10%? When you start giving it out of your heart and you start presenting it that way, things are going to start moving in your life. And then you're going to start recognizing God's hand as you're moving forward and moving through it. So I truly say to you is if you're in church and you're going to church, if you haven't, start with that 10% tithe. Let it start working in your life and see God start working in your life with that. And then when that happens, I mean, when you're getting blessed, it's time to do some blessing. You know, you could bless, you can go to a restaurant and have a nice dinner, and whoever that waitress is, if they're just doing an awesome job, bless them. You know, you could do the 5, 10, 15%, whatever the normal world would do. But if you're led by the Spirit, that's what you bless me. You know what? The Lord's going to pay you back for that. Because what you're doing is you're showing the kingdom. This is what you're doing when you show the kingdom of God through your blessings of others. And it's also sowing into other ministries. It's also sowing into your churches. Do they need something? Do they need do they need a new projection screen? Do they need new speakers for the sound system? Whatever the Lord puts on your heart that you need to do, you start presenting those out there and start blessing. You're going to start noticing more and more that he's going to give you. So this is what I wrote. This is about money. We tend to hold tight to our income, but we won't take control. God wants to take control of that. Money for some can be an idol if it's placed before God.